Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 1. The Gospel record of John and John in chapter number 1. We're continuing our series on the 12 disciples, doing a character study on each one of these 12 men that God pulled aside to help change the world. 12 ordinary men who God used. And we want to learn from their lives. Remember that every person's life teaches a message. It's one of the benefits of doing a character study, is to study someone's life and to see what we can learn from their lives. Well, as we have gone through, we have started with Peter. And we learned about Peter and Jesus's talk with him, that when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And we explained how Peter not only got saved, but how there was a conversion in his life where he turned himself completely over to the Lord so he could be used of God to strengthen other people, to encourage their faith. We went through and hit Andrew, Peter's brother, and saw him as a soul winner for Jesus, that every time he is mentioned, we're seeing him bringing someone to the Lord. On Sunday night, we hit James, the brother of John, and we learned a little bit about his life, that he was part of the inner circle of the Lord Jesus Christ and got to be there during some of those significant events to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned some of his family, how he was raised, and now we're going to hit his brother. Notice with me, if you don't mind, and the Gospel record of John and chapter number 1. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 1, and notice with me in verse number 35. The Gospel record of John, chapter number 1 and verse 35. Again the next day after John, that's John the Baptist, stood and two of his disciples. And looking to Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and say unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. This is the calling of John, the disciple, unto the Lord Jesus Christ as he began to follow him. With this, we're going to do a character study on John, and we're going to see as he is called the Beloved. John, the Beloved. John, the Beloved. Let's go to the Lord together, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would just help us as we open your Bible, explore this character of John, this historical person, and that we could learn more about his life and how you used him to yourself to get your work accomplished. Lord, as we come to you, I recognize that I don't want to have any dependence on myself. I wanted to be dependent upon you. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you. Ask that you fill me with your Spirit, that you would do your own work tonight through your Word. Help us to be engaged. Help the Bible to come alive. Help us to learn more about this historical person that you love so much. And Jesus, thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. As we begin, let's just start off simply, the disciple whom Jesus loved. The disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, we learned a little bit about John's family from his brother in the last time we met. We know that John's father, Zebedee, was a successful business fisherman off the Sea of Galilee who was known for his prosperous business. He had hired servants. We had learned about his mother, who was very much a follower after Christ. And as far as we can tell, that his mother Salome was cousin to, was cousin to, or, sorry, forgive me, that Salome could have been the actual sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus, making John and James physical cousins to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that John probably knew Jesus all of his life. That showed a little bit of an interesting connection, something that they knew about, traveling with each other, meeting each other. Before following Jesus, John was a disciple of John the Baptist, who John the Baptist helped prepare John the Beloved's heart to follow after the Lord. We could see that here, that when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," they got their attention. When John did it again the next day, they said, "All right, well, then we're going to follow him." And John said, "Good, good, good." And so they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned around and said, "What are you guys looking for? We want to see where you live at. We want to know more about you." Jesus invited him over, and they got to meet Jesus face to face and decide to follow after him. Now, with this, John, James, and Peter became part of the inner circle of Jesus Christ, and they got to engage in some of the most significant events, private events, with the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. They saw Jesus' power over death. They saw the Mount of Transfiguration, where they see Jesus' divine glory. Then they saw Jesus' grief as they prayed with him and watched him pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. John also played a pivotal role in practical ministry, being one of the two disciples Jesus sent to go prepare for the Last Supper, for the Passover. He was uniquely called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Imagine that being told, and through all the annals of Scripture, the disciple whom Jesus loved. What a powerful statement. You know, with that statement, that means that there's a reciprocal love. John loved Jesus. In fact, we could see in Scripture that John was the man who laid his head on Jesus' breast. Now, you have to be pretty close to someone to be able to lay and rest your head on someone's chest. There was that close relationship. They loved each other. They cared for each other. They cared this close personal relationship. So much so that Jesus, while he was on the cross, entrusted his mother's care and future to John the Beloved. There was that close, intimate relationship and fellowship where they loved each other, they trusted each other. That's powerful. After the resurrection, John was active in the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts. He helped establish new church, and it contributed to its growth, demonstrating his commitment to Christ. Not only did he work in the church of Jerusalem, but it is said that he also pastored the church of Ephesus for a while. And so he was very much engaged in ministry. So, with that introduction of John the Beloved, let's learn a little bit more about him. Let's find out about John the disciple. John the disciple. For 3.5 years, John followed and learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. He recorded his experiences and insight in the Gospel Record of John, a book that would powerfully showcases the deity and humanity of Christ. Now remember, we have 4 Gospel Records. You have what is called the 3 synoptic gospels, the gospel record of Matthew, the gospel record of Mark, and the gospel record of Luke. Now, we call those synoptic because they compare to each other. They have a lot of the same information. The gospel record of John is unique because it doesn't share a lot of that information. It has very unique information. It has more personal insights, and it is unique in its scope and its presentation, and it's different from the other 3. John's writings reveal his deep understanding of the key themes, and it's demonstrated by his specific words that he would use. For example, my favorite word in all of the Bible, the word "no," is found 142 times throughout his writings. The word "believe," which carries the idea to believe, trust, depend upon, not just of knowledge, but through action, is used 100 times. The word Father, as in the Heavenly Father, 118 times. The word world, like for God so loved the world, 78 times through the writings of John. The word see, meaning S-E-E, to see visually, is used 105 times. That carries the idea to witness, to experience it for yourself. In fact, in the gospel record of John chapter 1, we were reading before, you know what Jesus told them when he said, where do you dwellest? He said, come and see. Come experience it for yourself. We don't want you to depend on someone else's experience. The faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a personal experiential experience, intimate experience. Come and see. That's why the word see is used 105 times and is an important word, to experience it for yourself. The word verily, used 50 times in 25 pairs. Verily, verily, I say unto you. 25 pairs, 50 times, the word verily. The word verily means truly, truly, truly. Again, we have the idea of knowledge, evidence, see for yourself. Don't you depend on what people say, you experience it. You see it for yourself. The word love, used 36 times through the writings of John. These words highlight the central truths that he sought to convey about Christ and his relationship with the Father and the world. We know that the gospel record of John revolves around three focal points. So three things within the gospel record of John that the whole book revolves around. First of all, the signs. These signs serve as proofs that Jesus is the one who was in the beginning with God, who is God, and became flesh to dwell among us. So the miracles, the signs that we find in the gospel record of John, all are used to prove that Jesus is God. We see not only the signs, but we see the secrets. The secrets. These are intimate heart-to-heart teachings that John shared with his disciples in the upper room. Remember that the gospel record of John from chapter 13 all the way up to 17 is just a private conversation Jesus is having with the disciples. All those chapters together are just showing this intimate secret time that Jesus is sharing, not with the masses, not with the crowd, but with the 11 that were left. Then we also see the sorrows, the suffering, and the sacrifice of the Son of God. Unlike the other gospel writers, John bypasses all the events in Gethsemane and focuses on the trial and the cross, emphasizing the ultimate sacrifice for Jesus. In fact, the gospel record of John lingers long at dedicating half of the book to the final week of Jesus' life. So in the gospel record of John, half of the book covers 1 week. That's it. We often call that the Passion Week, the last week of Jesus' life going up to the cross. His detailed account marvels at the wonder that the Son of God would willfully die for sinful man, leaving that testament to the depth of Christ's love and the importance of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. As we go on, we could see something else. We could see the idea of feed my sheep. Let's see John as the pastor. John is the pastor, so we see him as the one whom Jesus loved. We see him as John the disciple. But let's also look at his life as John the pastor. Feed my sheep. A pastor is a shepherd who has the heart for the flock, caring for the people of God with the same love and the same dedication that the Lord Jesus Christ had. As an under-shepherd, a pastor serves the Lord by faithfully tending to his people. When Jesus entrusted the care to John, the care of his mother at the cross, John's pastoral work began. He was now in charge for caring for something and someone that Jesus cared for. That's exactly what a pastor is supposed to do, to care for those that Jesus cared for, to love on them, to tend them, to make sure that they are doing well. Later, when John moved to Ephesus to assist with the church there, it was likely that he brought Mary with him, continuing this responsibility and commitment that he made to the Lord Jesus Christ. John's pastoral heart is evident in his three epistles. So remember, we have the gospel record of John, and then towards the end of the Bible, we have 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. In those three epistles, we see the pastoral heart of John. These letters show the care that he had for the church and his desire to guide believers to walk with Christ. Let's start off with the book of 1 John. We could see the idea of the word about fellowship. John's first epistle speaks about the life of God within us and offers a practical guidance to us. Remember that the gospel record of John has four purposes. Remember, we look up the word, "These things have I written unto you." We see four things that are there. First of all, to promote joy, encouraging believers to experience the fullness of joy through their fellowship with God. Sometimes we look at people in their Christian life and we're like, where's the joy that God promised you? The joy in the Christian life comes with our fellowship with Christ. And so the book of 1 John, "These things have I written unto you, that your joy may be full." We also see another reason of the book writing of 1 John was to prevent sin. "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, he have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That the purpose of the writing of 1 John was to keep people from sinning, providing clear teaching to help Christians avoid sin and to walk in righteousness. In addition, a third purpose of the book of 1 John was to protect the saints. "These things write I unto you for those trying to seduce you." I misquoted that. But he's trying to warn them. There's false teachers out there. They're trying to convince you that there's a different Christ to follow, that you don't have to walk after him. And the book of 1 John is written to protect the saints. And then the last and the main purpose of 1 John is to provide assurance. "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God doesn't want us to hope or guess or think, but he wants us to know and to know for sure. And so the book of 1 John sees that pastoral heart of John to promote fellowship, a word about fellowship. As we go to the book of 2 John, only one chapter, we could see a word about faith. This brief letter was written to a woman, addressing a specific danger she faced, that her faith was under attack. False teachers had sought to get entry into her home, but John instructed to protect her and her family and her faith by refusing them hospitality. Don't invite them in. Don't bring them in. He reminded her that it's the duty of the head of the household to safeguard the truth and protect those in the household from false doctrine. This short letter highlights how important it is to defend the faith and to stick with the doctrine of Christ. Who is Jesus? As we go on to the book of 3 John, we could see a word about family. 3 John, once again, is only one chapter. And his third epistle, John highlights three individuals that demonstrate different aspects of life within a church. You have Gaius, the believer, a kind and gentle man whose ministry helped the local church. Gaius was an example of faithfulness and generosity, supporting others to their service to the Lord. Inside of the book of 3 John, we also have another man by the name of Diotrephes. The thing about Diotrephes is that he desired the preeminence. He desired the preeminence. Someone who wanted to control and wanted everyone to look at him. And if there was anyone else that could take the spotlight from him, he didn't want him. And he would try to work against them. Diotrephes serves as a warning against selfish ambition and trying to divide things within the church for your own gain. There's one more person mentioned in the book of 3 John, and that is Demetrius, the brother. This is a missionary who John commended as a faithful servant of God. He encouraged the church to retreat, to receive and support Demetrius, showing the importance that we need to support others inside of the Lord's work. Now, through these examples, John the Beloved demonstrates the ability to shepherd the flock, to care for those people within the church, to try to help the church move forward. He deeply cared for the church and guided the believers with a heart of compassion to stand against error, to stand against a division. His writings still today have very practical advice for believers and for helping the churches move forward. With it, we also see one more book that John was privileged to be the human penman for, and that was the Revelation of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, John reveals a series of judgments that unfold as part of God's ultimate plan for humanity and the return of Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, we find seven seals. This section focuses on mankind, showing how man's sinful world descends into chaos as God's judgment unfolds. The seven seals are going to be followed by seven trumpets. These trumpets blast, announcing the coming of Satan's false Messiah, the Antichrist, and escalating the consequences of rebellion towards God. Seven seals, seven trumpets, which leads to the seven vials. These seven vials are final judgments poured onto the world to its climax, leading to the glorious and triumphant return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This series of events underscores the sovereignty of God, that God's in control no matter what, and that he has every right to judge what is his. And then the hope, the great hope that we have of Jesus' final victory. Remember, that's not hope like I hope it doesn't snow. It's a hope that it's confident. Jesus will get the final victory. That's what I'm putting my confidence, my hope inside. Which brings us to the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's look at John the prisoner. John the prisoner. Now, again, I'm trying to squeeze this very quickly as we're looking through there because there's a lot in John's life and we could stretch all of these out. But we're just trying to get a snapshot of his life. Let's look and see how he ended in his life. John was exiled to the island of Patmos, which was a small rocky island in the Aegean Sea between Asia Minor and Greece. And it served as a prison colony where criminals were sent to labor in mines and marble quarries. It was on this desolate isle that God spoke to John and gave him the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, before he was even sent here, it was said that the Romans attempted to execute John by boiling him in oil. But he miraculously survived that. So here is a man who has the evidence of burns, deep burns. And because they couldn't kill him, they said, well, you know, let's do the best we can. Let's exile him. And so they turned a 90-year-old man full of scalding burns and scars to a colony to work hard. By the way, that colony, you cannot grow food in that rocky island. They were dependent on whatever was given to them. They couldn't scrounge for themselves. This is a place where they send people to die and forget about them. And yet, when the world thought they got rid of John, God says, I've just been waiting for some private time with you. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but to suffer like that, when you want to give up, when you want to say, I don't want to feel like this anymore. And yet John was still willing to go another day because he loved his Savior. The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the thing that we see about John through the entire life. is that he loved his Savior. He had a heart for the Master. He had a close relationship with him. There was a closeness to him. Now, I know in our world, it seems kind of off to have that personal public display of attention where some guy would lay his head on some other guy's chest. Well, back then, those public display of affection were acceptable. He was that close to Jesus. He just wanted to hug him, to be close to him. Now, how much do you love Jesus? Do you love him that much that that becomes the basis of your life? Do you love him that much that he says, I know that you love me. Now I'm going to entrust you with some things that are important to me. There was a love relationship between John and Jesus. By the way, that's the same type of relationship that's available to us. When John is writing and used as a human penman to write the gospel record of John, the whole purpose was, is I love Jesus and I want you to see him as God. I want you to see him as he truly is. I want you to see Jesus because he loved him. When he wrote the book of 1 John, it was saying, I have a close fellowship with Jesus and my joy is full and I want you to have that joy from fellowship with a real Jesus, not just talking about it, but being close to him. In the book of 2 John, he says, I love Jesus so much that I'm telling you that it's all about the doctrine of Christ, of knowing who he is. And you need to protect that they don't try to give you a different Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that I know, the Jesus that I'm close to. In the book of 3 John, it says it's not about you. It's not like a Diotrephes to have the preeminence. It's all about Jesus and getting his work done. It's about him. In the gospel record, in the book of Revelation, we have a man who spent his entire life at 90, who has suffered horribly. Do you know there are times that he probably looked and said, you know, Peter probably got off better. Now remember, going back into the time when Christ gave a prophecy about John that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's coming. And Peter's getting mad and like, well, why does he get that? And Jesus said, Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're asking. I think John looks back on that and said, you know what? Peter got the better end of the deal. I hurt. I'm old. Living until I see the Lord's return is not all that it cracked up to be. When he was boiling in oil, that promises in his mind, God says, I'm not going to let you die. And he says, why not? He's hurting. He's in pain, but still in love with Jesus. You see, the relationship that John had, it wasn't falling in and out of love with Jesus. It was a consistent love. He just wanted to be close to his Savior. That whereas Jesus on this earth, he was able to give him a physical hug, his relationship with the Lord spiritually, when Christ ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit came down, it was still that close. He just wanted to be close to Jesus. And it changed everything about his life. So when the Bible talks about that this is the disciple that Jesus loved, that's not something to sleep on. That is a big statement. And to see John prove that, what is the secret of joy in the Christian life? Fellowship with Jesus. Walking with him. So many Christians who are legitimately born again, going to heaven, forgiven of their sins, miss out on so much joy. Because they don't have that relationship with Jesus, that fellowship with Jesus. They don't walk with him. They don't talk with him. They don't spend time with him. They don't love him. They don't care what Jesus is going through. Why did Jesus like having John around? Because John was there when he was hurting. He was a comfort to Jesus. Why did Jesus love to have John around? Because he could trust him. They had built such a fellowship that that was an easy trust. Friend, what about your heart? We've spoken about the heart today. We can go through the actions. We can go through the motions. We could do what we're supposed to do and miss the heart of the matter and miss out on the true, intimate fellowship that Jesus wants to have with us. And in the gospel, in the person of John, we see embodied this type of walk Jesus wants to have with us. It's available. Do you want to be close to Jesus? Do you want to have that type of fellowship? It's yours. Nothing between you and it, rather than space and opportunity. If you want to be that close to Jesus, you can. It starts off with you just coming to him and say, Lord, I want to be close to you. Help me to develop this relationship with you, this fellowship with you. Help me to have this intense friendship that you want to have with me. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, I'm asking that you would just stir our hearts, that you would help us desire to be close to you, to have this fellowship you want us to have, that it could be said that we are beloved, that you love us, and that our fellowship reflects it. Lord, I'm asking that you would capture our hearts and help us to have a heart for you the way that we should. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.